Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, Free Speech Central. It is the place where you go and you hear real free speech, unencumbered. John Stadtmiller, who runs the network, has never told me what to say or what not to say. In fact, the one thing he has told me is it's free speech. And I take it seriously. Go there, republicbroadcasting.org, and send some shekels. I don't ask you to send me shekels. I ask you to send RBN shekels. I do ask you to go to nationalbugle.com and download the Koshertified app, because we're living under a kosher tyranny. It really is a kosher tyranny. And if anything, Jeffrey Epstein, all the people, and we won't be talking about that much today, because just not because it's not still important, because it's still the most important thing, but we don't want people to get too tired of it. We're unraveling it, but we got to be careful about it. But he's been tattooing big kosher symbols used with a circle around them. He's been tattooing them into the foreheads of our politicians in a kind of invisible ink that only can be seen by the Jewish elite. I bet you didn't know that, but it's true. That's or something like that. And to unravel all this, we have with it. So go there, download the Koshertified app. It's only $2.99. Or just go to the kosherquestion.com and you can use their free online stuff. I have Mark Collett from across the pond. Mark, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello, Patrick. Yeah. It's great to be here. It's our very, very hot bank holiday Monday here in the UK, so it's quite nice to actually be indoors, away from the sunshine, and having a little bit of a chance to cool down with you over a bit of political chat.
Well, you can get yourself a lovely cup of tea, and we can have some political chat. Were you aware of that? The kosher marks tattooed in the foreheads of these politicians in invisible ink that only elite Jews can see.
Oh, I think I'm very, very aware of that. And I think it's something we've talked about for a long time, and it's something that at one point might have been termed a conspiracy theory. But I would say in the last few sort of weeks and months, with the Epstein story unfolding, it's gone from being a conspiracy theory to a certified truth.
Yes, it sure has. But we don't want people to get tired of it, because it's important, and there's still information that needs to come out, and we just don't want people to be sick of the story and bored with the story before everything comes out. So we're going to put that on the back burner, and we've got some other things to talk about today. Just basic stuff, crime in our cities. You turn on the local news and you'll see in your neck of the woods, if you're in America, all sorts of crime committed by youths, committed by marginalized people, against regular people. And when you see the pictures, you'll notice a difference in pigmentation usually. It never gets to national news, but somehow you saw something that happened in New York. How did you see this?
Well, this was in the Daily Mail, and it's a very, very interesting story, because it's something we've talked about before. But I think, before we go into the story, I think these incidents are very interesting in themselves, and obviously they're very newsworthy, but I'm more interested in the motivation and what's behind these incidents. Who are the people causing these incidents? Now, I'm just going to read this because the news snippet is on my Twitter. I tweeted it out the other day, and the headline was, NYPD arrest black man who was roaming the streets of Manhattan and committing hate crimes against white people, including hitting a 20-year-old woman over the head with a brick. And my tweet was quite simple. If the races were reversed in this case, then Congress would be talking about it. As it stands,
they would be passing legislation against bricks.
Right? You know, white people with bricks, yeah.
Well, I find it very interesting that these things are taking place, and the number of incidents like this are obviously rising. And it is obviously very important to talk about these things and to talk about the frequency of these occurrences, and also talk about the threat posed to those of European descent by those of immigrant descent, by those coming here, those coming to Western nations and committing these horrific acts. But there is slightly more to this, and I believe the motivation for these attacks, the motivation for these horrific incidents, is really something that's driven by the media. It's something that's driven by our enemies who control the press, they control Hollywood, they control the big networks, and they are driving these attacks, they are spurring them on, because I believe the message being pumped out by Hollywood, being pumped out by the media, being pumped out by the press, is now so toxic, so anti-white, and it makes out that all whites are oppressors, all whites are colonizers. Whitey is the bad guy. Whitey is, the white male especially, is someone who is to blame for all the ills in the world. And when you peddle that message, it is very, very damaging. And it's something more, though, than damaging. Especially when you're aiming that message at people who come from nations where the average IQ is quite low. And I think it's a really toxic message. But by pumping that toxic message out and aiming it at people who often will have a low IQ, who will often be angry people, who will often come from nations where it can be quite normal to deal with the problem with the fist or a knife or a machete, you really have a recipe for disaster. And when you look at the kind of violence that's glorified, especially in Hollywood movies, I mean, look at films like Inglourious Basterds, or look at the film that was recently cancelled called The Hunt. Now, these films are produced by Hollywood, and they glorify political violence. They even glorify the idea of torturing your enemies, going out there torturing and committing horrific acts upon your enemies. And this sort of torrent of bile is being fed into the minds of these immigrants. So they come here, they're obviously coming here not because the West is a horrible place, not because we're incredibly intolerant, but they're coming here because the West is actually very tolerant, because we offer them huge financial incentives to come here. They get free world-class healthcare, they get free housing, they get all manner of benefits. But then when they get here, they're told that the only reason they didn't have those things in their country of origin, the only reason they've had to come all the way here, is because we're so evil, because we're such rotten, horrible people, that we've been holding them down. We've, essentially, the West has had its boot on the head of, all these other nations for too long and stopped them ever rising up. And then they feel this huge amount of anger, they feel this huge amount of hatred towards white people. Obviously, that's bolstered because the press constantly tells people that we're racist, that the conditions in Western nations are horrifically bigoted and discriminatory against these migrants. And all of a sudden they end up with this huge chip on their shoulder. And when they do explode, when they do go out and do things, you get these kind of attacks, these kind of spree attacks, because this man just walked around attacking anyone that was white. And what could possibly be the motivation for this? Well, to me, it's quite clear. I've just explained it. The media are whipping up this anti-white hatred, and it manifests itself in this kind of violence. And the more of these people come here, the more they whip up this anti-white hatred, and the more the media and the press push this narrative that in fact violence is very acceptable, that it is okay to go and punch a Nazi, that it is okay to go and join Antifa and throw caustic chemicals in people's faces, that it is okay to do these kind of violent acts. I mean, here in the UK, we've just seen many quarters of the press glorified throwing milkshakes over people. They said that throwing milkshakes, throwing eggs, throwing rotten fruit at people you disagree with, as long as the people you disagree with are on the right wing, is absolutely acceptable and absolutely morally justifiable. And all of this talk of violence, all of this talk of stirring up violence and acting it on your political opponents, is now manifesting itself in these attacks, in these kind of incidents. And we will see these incidents increase in number, but also in ferocity. I mean, this incident was horrific. It involved this man smashing a 20-year-old over the head with a brick. I mean, that, you know, could be construed instantly as attempted murder. Mm. I mean, we'll have to see what prosecutors say. But we are reaching here, you know, situation critical. And what makes this even worse, what makes this more critical, is the fact that the demographic shift will soon see white people as a minority. And when they are a minority, I don't think things are going to get better. Mm-hmm. I think things will get dramatically worse, and we'll see a situation where these kind of attacks intensify, but whites are in a position where they are less able to defend themselves.
Well, it's long been the case that where whites have been minorities in, say, public schools, that they were targeted, they were victimized. Washington, D.C. had a public school system that in the 1970s was something like 98% black. I met a white person who went there once, and she was a girl. I don't know how that worked. But basically, you know, you just have to keep your head down. So you've got this kind of horrific attack, and it's a mass attack. Maybe not a mass shooting, it's a mass attack. And how does this, you know, think of Nick Sandman, who was the high school kid who simply stood there and smiled as an American Indian elder who had been prompted by these crazy black Israelites to bang a drum in this guy's face. He didn't know what to do. He simply stood there and smiled. And there was weeks of coverage of it, and you had, you know, major network newscasters, I guess the lady from the morning news show on NBC, going to Nick Sandman, this 16-year-old kid, saying, "Don't you think you owe that guy an apology?" And, you know, it was not just national news, but was the top story for a couple of weeks. And yet you've got, I used to recommend Colin Flaherty's YouTube channel, but YouTube keeps taking it down. You can look at the race war section of the Daily Stormer. And every day you see stories, and these aren't things that are made up. These are stories sourced from local news, from local newspapers, from local TV stations, about black people murdering whites. Or occasionally they'll take something from Britain of Muslims murdering whites. The news is there. It's there, but it's only at the local news level. It's not national news. But if a white man simply smiles at a non-white who's accosting him, or you think of the Jussie Smollett case, where supposedly, you know, whites had put a noose, didn't damage the guy, but whites had supposedly put a noose around this black actor's neck, and then it turns out to be a complete hoax. But still, whites were, they were vilified for that. That was national news. Why should that be national news when, and I have to say, I saw this, the news of this attack of, you know, dozens of whites who were minding their own business being attacked by this black guy. I saw it only because I saw it on the Daily Stormer. And, a few weeks ago, outside Temple University, you had these black girls, this gang of black girls, who are just attacking white girls and one Oriental girl, just outside Temple University, just attacking the college girls, just for the fun of it. And they were filming it themselves and posting it on social media themselves, because that's the atmosphere. So I guess that underscores what you're saying. These attackers, and like in the case of these girls, they thought it was just fun. This is just how you have fun, is you go and you beat up white girls, and then you post it on social media for fun. So how is that going to be get any better when we become a minority?
Well, it's going to get a lot worse. And I think another thing that spurs on these attacks, especially here in the UK, is when a non-white attacks a white, the sentences are nearly always far, far less than when a white attacks a non-white. So when a non-white attacks a white, you can guarantee a judge will allow a greater degree of clemency. And there's one very famous case where a group of black, supposedly Muslim girls attacked a white girl and literally stamped on her head. I mean, horrific crime. And the judge let them off. He actually let them walk free from court because he said he wanted to show them clemency because they'd been drinking alcohol. And he didn't believe they understood what they were doing. He believed they only did it because they drank alcohol. And they were very naive to the effects of alcohol. So he let them walk free. I mean, can you imagine if a young group of white girls had drank alcohol, then stomped on the head of a Muslim girl? I think that would be front page news for weeks. There'd probably be a special memorial. The girl would be taught about in schools. She'd be held up as some kind of national hero based on her victimhood status. And the girls in question would probably be separated from their parents, sent to a young offenders institute before being rehomed. And there'd be all kinds of inquiries into how they were brought up, how they became such monsters. But when these black Muslim girls did this, the judge couldn't fall over himself quick enough to basically grant them clemency, to let them walk free, to give them an excuse for their horrific crimes. And I think when you look at situations like that, you can see that's another important driving force behind these criminal acts. Because when you know that there isn't any great penalty for committing such a horrific crime, what is the deterrent for doing so?
Well, there is no deterrent. And, there is this underlying assumption that, well, this is just what black people do. And it's there. And I don't want to go DR3, Democrats are the real racists, but there's this underlying assumption that, well, that's just what they do. And I was watching a TV show, and it was on a sports network, but it was about race. And there was this former basketball player named Isaiah Thomas, a very famous basketball player from the, I guess, 1980s. And he was talking to a journalist, and then there was a small studio audience. And he was saying, well, you know, I guess they were talking about, you know, these police shootings of blacks, unarmed blacks. And he said, you know, if a white person comes into a black neighborhood, they don't have to worry about being shot. Just like, really? Well, they might get their wallet stolen, but that's just because we want the money. And then everybody laughs. And it's like, well, of course, there is a big risk of violence if you stroll into the wrong neighborhood. But the idea is, well, it's not racist. We're not attacking you because of your race. We're just attacking you because we want your stuff. But even that, you know, they really are attacking because of race. You wander into the wrong neighborhood in D.C. or New York or wherever, Chicago, and they see a white person, and they'll attack you. And it's just, there's just this assumption, well, that's just how they are. That's just what they do. And that is, maybe that is the real racism. Okay, we're up on the break. We'll be right back.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
We are back. So you mentioned, before slavery, I can't remember the context, but this, you have talked about what the three pillars of white guilt being slavery, Holocaust, and colonialism. And, we don't endorse slavery, but slavery has existed throughout human history. It's been all over the globe. It's been an institution. When we're talking about slavery in the United States, and if you put it in its historical context, in the 1600s, 1700s, the 1800s, it ended here in 1865, and you compare the condition of the slaves with the condition of most people around the earth, and most people around the earth were agricultural workers. They were peasants, they were serfs, they were slaves. The conditions of the American slaves, if you measure it, here's two measures. One is if you measure it by their demographic success, the amount, the rate that they could reproduce. You took a 400,000 slaves who were brought across the Atlantic into the American colonies, states. And by the end of, by 1865, that 400,000 had turned to 4 million. So in a couple of centuries at most, you've got a tenfold increase. Okay, that's pretty successful. There are very few populations around the globe that were that successful in terms of reproduction. Another one. Look at their food security. And I've got up in front of me the Wikipedia page on famines. And if you just look at, there's just dozens and dozens and dozens of famines during that period. okay, and they affect everywhere around the world, except the United States. You don't have the black slaves never experienced famine, and this was something that was prevalent. It was a fear everywhere around the world, Europe in particular. There was lots of famines in Europe in this period. The black slaves had food security. So when you get down to it, if it's not like we're saying slavery is a good thing, and slavery has worked out horribly for the United States, I think. But is it something that a modern-day black, more than a century and a half after the end of slavery, should they have a chip on their shoulder because of slavery? I mean, because of slavery, they're here. Because of slavery, they have citizenship in the most wealthiest, prosperous society in history, one that they had very little to do with its creation, and they're benefiting from it. And then, you know, you look at the slaves themselves, and if you compare the security and the food security and reproductive success of American slaves to the vast majority of, you know, peasants and serfs and slaves, agricultural workers, the vast majority of the population of the earth during those times, they were more successful. Should they have a chip on their shoulder? That's my question.
Should they have a chip on their shoulder?
Should they be indoctrinated to hate whites over that?
Well, that's a very good question, because let me read this to you. It's relating to the story I told you about earlier. Muslim girl gang who kicked young woman in the head while yelling, "Kill the white slag," escapes jail after judge hears they weren't used to drinking because of their religion. Now, these girls were Somalis. They were Somalian immigrants. They came to the UK and they attacked a white female care worker. They beat her so badly that it left a bald patch on her head. They kicked her when she was on the floor and they shouted...
What did they shout?
They were let kill the white slag is what okay. They shouted. Kill the white slag was what they were shouting as they attacked her and dragged her around by her hair, threw her to the ground and kicked her in the head. And they all walked free from court. Now, in the UK, we have a system of laws, which means that if a crime is proved to be racially motivated, if there is a racial motivation or some kind of racial context to the attack, then the sentencing is meant to be much harsher, and the sentencing is meant to reflect that racial aspect. So here you have a judge who should have sentenced these girls far more harshly for their attack because it was motivated by racial hatred. That would be playing it by the book. And I am absolutely sure that if four white girls attacked a Somalian girl, kicked her in the head and shouted racial slurs at her, the sentence would have been much, much harsher because of the racial aspect. But here you've got these four Somalian girls attacking this white female care worker called Rhea Page, beating her badly, leaving her with a bald spot on her head from the attack, screaming racial abuse at her, but the judge gives them a suspended sentence. He lets them walk free from court because there are mitigating factors, because they're not used to drinking alcohol, they're Muslims, they're not used to our culture, and this is all part of the problem. So you have these push factors, the things that push people into committing crimes. You have the stuff you hear about in schools, the stuff you hear from Hollywood, the stuff you hear in the media, the stuff that the press feeds people. Mm-hmm. You have this huge anti-white narrative that's just pervasive. It's absolutely everywhere. But also...
And we'll have to get into the also on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. But also, Mark, you were telling a story about this girl who got beat up by a bunch of drunk Somalis. And I guess drinking is something they're not used to. They're not used to having their inhibitions removed. But without the inhibitions, what do? They go and beat up a white girl and scream a racial abuse at her. And so I guess that's okay.
Indeed, indeed. But the big issue here, this is the really big issue, is these people also know they're going to get away with it. They also know that when they've done these horrific things, they're going to walk free from court. There isn't going to be any repercussions for them. And it goes into the Smollett case, the Jussie Smollett case, which you also talked about. And that's of another very important case, because here you have a man who was trying to advance his career as an actor. He was trying to climb up the greasy Hollywood pole. He didn't just want a part in TV shows. He probably wanted a part in big Hollywood films. I mean, why wouldn't he? You know, why just be on a show when, you know, you could get bumped up and end up having your own trailer and appearing alongside somebody like maybe Tom Cruise, or being one of the new, you know, the new Marvel films, being one of the replacements for a white character and picked on your victim status.
He could be Captain America. He's black, he's Jewish, and gay. That's what,
wow.
He represents all of our values.
Living the American dream.
Yeah.
But the thing with Jussie is, after what happened, and it all came out that the people who attacked him were most likely paid by him, the people who attacked him were people he knew. They weren't white, they were black. And the whole thing appeared to be staged.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as this came out, rather than people coming down on him with the full force of the law, because this man stoked racial tension,
That was the whole intent. I wasn't the whole intent. I guess the whole intent was to promote his own career, but that was the whole intent for the media, was to stoke.
Yeah, and it was a byproduct of his actions. Now, the thing is, when somebody does something like that, and it gets mentioned in Congress, and you have all these people like Kamala Harris and others sort of falling over themselves to sort of praise him as a hero, that sends a very important message. It sends, again, another message to the migrant, the black community, whatever you want to call them, that Whitey is the bad guy, that, you know, there needs to be retribution. And we're very lucky that in the wake of the Smollett case, no one went and took retribution. No one went to get one for the other side. And you can see that these things do happen. We've seen cases where white people are being kidnapped, tortured, their torture has been live streamed on Facebook just because they're the wrong colour, just because they were being picked upon by somebody of another colour who had heard that Trump or the white man or whatever you want to call it are evil. And that could have happened. But the worst thing about this is, when it all came out in the wash, what he'd done, he was given a slap on the wrist and the case was sealed. In fact, he was let off. The case was sealed and they tried to brush it under the carpet. Now, this is absolutely horrific because this is a case of wasting police time. It's a case of race baiting. It's a case that was so sensitive, it could have realistically led to serious retribution, to white people being attacked in the street, to somebody being murdered. This could have led to race riots. It could have led to the kind of situation that saw genuine racial attacks break out all over America because of the narrative being pushed by the media, a completely irresponsible narrative. And when you look at that, it's not just a case of wasting police time. This man put lives at risk through his lies. And his lies were told really for greed and a little bit of probably, you know, artistic self-indulgence. I mean, the nonsense he was coming out with was just, you know, so unbelievable. When I heard the story, I knew that it wasn't true. I mean, what kind of people, you know, put a noose around somebody's neck, let them walk through, then he wanders around town for the next sort of half an hour with a noose still around his neck? It's the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard. But the fact of the matter is, all of this was done for financial gain, yet it wasted police time, it was racially motivated, and it put people at risk, yet it was all covered up. And again, you have another case of a black offender getting away with something that a white offender would never get away with. And I believe in these cases, there is a clear racial bias. That racial bias is always anti-white. That racial bias is always pro-colored criminals. And it is very, very, not only unfair, but it is very, very dangerous because it pushes more people into doing these things. It makes these people realize that they can get away, in some cases, like with the racial attack, with attempted murder. I mean, if you're kicking somebody on the head when they're on the floor, you know, that could be easily construed as attempted murder. When four people have somebody on the floor and they're kicking them in the head, there is a very reasonable likelihood of that person dying. And yet they walked free from court. A gang attack, a racially motivated gang attack, where people walk free from court. And people hear about these things. People know that they could, well, you know, non-white people know that they can play the race card. And here you have a system which is set up not only to disenfranchise white people, but also made up in such a way that it allows white people to be the victim. In fact, it ensures white people are the victim, and it also ensures that those who victimize them are more than likely able to get away with their crimes.
Right. So, you mentioned that this Jesse Smollett thing, it was, on the part of Jesse Smollett himself, maybe self-aggrandizement, but on the part of the media, it was to stoke racial tension, and it could have led to a race riot. And of course, it could have, but, you know, there's another case where it did. We have Michael Brown from Ferguson, and the media erroneously and really maliciously reported that, you know, they kept saying he was an unarmed black, and hands up, don't shoot. And they neglected to say that he had just robbed a convenience store. They had neglected to say that when instructed to walk on the sidewalk and not in the street, that rather than following police instructions, that he came and attacked the police officer. They neglected to say that the police officer was actually there looking for Michael Brown, because Michael Brown had, you know, somebody had reported this robbery of the store, and that it wasn't hands up, don't shoot. And even 5 years later, at the 5-year anniversary, I'm listening to National Public Radio, which is state sponsored, right? I mean, the government provides a lot of their operating funds, and they were saying initial reports were that he had put up his hands and said, don't shoot. And usually when you hear them say initial reports, then they'll say later it was corrected, because later there was testimony. These, you know, the witnesses who actually had to testify under oath said that no, he attacked the police officer, and when he was shot, he was running towards the police officer. It, you know, the initial reports were just random people talking to journalists with no consequences, or maybe even journalists making stuff up. And so they continued this, but it did create riots. It led to lots of deaths. Because of the hands-off approach that police took in St. Louis area, in Baltimore, and Houston, and other areas, it led to a massive spike in the crime rate, which is mostly blacks murdering blacks. But in St. Louis, while this was going on, you had 32-year-old, what's the guy's name? Zamir Begich, who was, according to a police, St. Louis police representative, Sharon Jackson, he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, he was the wrong race in the wrong place. And he was attacked, and he was murdered with a hammer. Now, he wasn't murdered because he was a Bosnian immigrant. He was murdered because he has a very white-looking face. He's Slavic, very, very white-looking face. And he was in the wrong neighborhood. He was in their neighborhood, and he was white. And so they murdered him. That didn't become major news. So, you know, you've got this selective reporting. You've got the selective prosecution. They are saying that they want a conversation. They want a conversation on race. No, they want to lecture us. And if we actually agree to a conversation, then they shut us down. I'm talking to Reverend Manning, who is a black preacher in Harlem, who is very critical of the black leadership, and he's agreed in principle to come on the show, and so hopefully we'll have a real conversation, because I think the two of us might be the right people to have it. But anyway, Mark, so, you know, you're absolutely right. These types of things can and do lead to race riots. They lead to murders. And yet, you know, the media continues with this, and then they continue to deplatform us and say that we're the worst people in the world.
Indeed they do, and deplatforming us is what they love doing at the moment. You know, anyone now that speaks the truth is accused of a hate crime, and we are being silenced. I mean, I've had videos removed from my YouTube account, for hate speech, for talking about attacks on white people. So I've talked about attacks on white people, and I've said, look, these are completely unacceptable, and I believe that the media bear a degree of responsibility for these attacks. And for that analysis, I've had videos removed. So now, we live in a world where not only are these people told by the media that they should be attacking us, not only are they told by the education system that we are all racists and we are responsible for all the ills in the world, making us an even bigger target. Not only do the judiciary let these people off, so they know if they do attack us, they're not going to face harsh sentences. But then when we speak out against those attacking us, when we speak out against horrific crimes against white people, when we chronicle horrific crimes against white people and discuss why they're taking place, the big tech companies censor us and stop us talking about these things. Now, this is an incredible situation to be in. And a lot of these media outlets, these newspapers, Hollywood, they love talking about civil rights. They love talking about the civil rights movement. And they like painting themselves as civil rights activists. Yet, we are the real civil rights activists. We are the ones now being silenced for talking about the fact that white people in the Western world are, or are becoming at a very rapid rate, second-class citizens, either in their ancestral homelands or in the nations that their forefathers founded. We are the civil rights activists, and we are the ones being censored for talking about violence against a racial group. And that violence is violence aimed at white people by non-white people, perpetrated by non-white people. And that is the key. And when you look at the way the media frame their arguments, when you look at the way the press and Hollywood or these movies that are churned out constantly frame what is going on, it is actually the opposite of the truth. It's exactly the direct opposite of the truth, because now the truth is that white people are increasingly being victimized, and when they are victimized, there is no justice.
And, of course, our regular listeners don't need to hear this, but who knows? We might have a new listener today. Why is it that we've got a media that is so anti-white when isn't the media, I mean, isn't it white people who run the media? Okay. All right. So I was trying to set you up, Mark. But who runs the media?
Who runs the media? Those running the media are what we like to call fellow whites. Sorry, my mic was, I was fiddling with that. I was doing this off my phone, so I was slow on the uptake Sorry.
So, they're Jewish, but aren't Jewish people whites? Well, they're fellow white people. But it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if they look white. It doesn't matter if, you know, their ancestry is how it's mixed, you know, how you want to define races biologically. What does matter is that the people who identify as Jews, the Jewish identity is very much wrapped up in a intense competition and really paranoia of the rest of the white people. And they see white people as a dangerous rival to them, and seem hell-bent on destroying the cohesion and integrity of white people. Am I paranoid?
You're certainly not paranoid. No, not at all. What we have here is a situation where those who own the media usually call themselves white when they're saying, oh, we all must be aware of our white privilege. But as soon as they finish tweeting that out, a few days later, somebody will say, why are you saying these horrible things? Why are you saying these things? And they'll be like, oh, you know, please don't have a go at me. I'm Jewish. And you see this pattern where they identify as white when it is to push some idea of collective guilt upon white people. But as soon as they get any blowback from that, they identify as Jewish and tell you to stop being so anti-Semitic for noticing things. And that's how these people operate. And they have a huge anti-white bias. They love to break down the collective consciousness of those of European descent. They love to make sure there are no identity politics for white people, whereas they as a group have the fiercest and most deep-rooted form of identity politics that the planet has ever known.
Mm-hmm. So today on Dr. Duke's show, he had Augustus Invictus, who's a young attorney. Well, he can't be that young. He's running for president. He's got to be at least 35. But he was pointing out that there is a non-Jewish white who used to work for the National Review or the Weekly Standard, I think, which is Bill Kristol's magazine, which I guess has gone defunct. But his name is David French, and David French he was quoting from two of David French's articles. One and I don't remember the title of the article, but one article was saying how Israel has this absolute right to build a wall along, you know, its border or its perceived border, and shoot with deadly force, live ammunition, shoot anybody who approaches it. On the other hand, he's also written an article saying how racist it is for Americans, for the United States to build a wall on its own border. Now, he's not even Jewish, but he works for the Jews, and he shows for the Jews. And, you know, you just, there are so many examples where you can see this kind of hypocrisy and this kind of double standard that, you know, it's almost just like shooting fish in a barrel. There's so much of it out there. But they get a pass. All right, well, we're up at the break, and we'll be right back.
So, are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clear, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
And we are back. So, most people, my regular listeners, know that Mark Collett, he has his own YouTube channel, although he's got to be careful what he does with it. And he has a show this week. Well, no, it's not called that anymore. It's called the Patriotic Weekly Review. Yeah, you changed your name partly due to considerations, I guess, right, of not wanting to be deplatformed. But you have that, and then also on Friday you put out a usually about 15-minute video on a specific issue. Give us some teasers for what is upcoming this week.
Well, this week I actually, after talking to you this week, I would very much like to do an in-depth analysis of that attack, but I've already got a video planned out. It's about a Jewish author who has written a book being targeted at teens. It's meant to be a sexual help book for teens, where she talks about what gives a glowing endorsement of oral sex for six-year-olds. And I think it's a very important thing to discuss, because not only is this a clear promotion of paedophilia, but it is also a case where you have an author not only promoting paedophilia and sexual deviancy of the worst kind, but pushing that upon children. And I think that's going to be something that is very, very important to talk about.
You know, I remember being a kid.
Oh, and that won't be on YouTube, by the way. There's something I've just a little interjection here.
Please do.
My YouTube channel is under attack, and I will be producing some videos on YouTube. If I have to talk about something like Boris Johnson's fiscal plan, it will probably be on YouTube. But if I'm talking about anything of real gravity, if I'm talking about serious issues, the kind of issues that I need to report upon because no one else is reporting upon, they most likely won't be on YouTube anymore, because YouTube don't want those kind of videos. YouTube are cracking down on independent content creators and are making it almost impossible for people like myself, people like you, for people like Dr. David Duke, but also a wealth of other brilliant content creators to actually make any content. And their rules are so vague and so unfairly applied that really there's very little the likes of you and I can do to actually understand how these rules are applied. And because of that, it really means that when we upload something, it's a lottery to whether it'll stay up or whether it'll come crashing down.
Wow. And who's your guest for your Patriotic Weekly Review this week?
Our guest is the lovely Laura Towler.
Has she been on before?
She's been on several times before. And when she comes on this week, we will be talking about our recent Day of Action.
Okay, great. And you know, you have a large number of women who come on. And, you know, there is a tendency in certain quarters to, you know, it's not as if women and men are the same, and it's not as if you should expect women and men to be involved in this activity or that activity always at proportional rates. And it may well be that men are more naturally inclined to politics, that men tend to be more adapted to leadership. You would think that it would make evolutionary sense. That didn't stop me from endorsing Tulsi Gabbard for president. I think right now she is our best opportunity. She presents an opportunity. And I don't think that the president of the United States is the be-all and end-all. We've got a lot of stuff to do. If nothing else, Donald Trump proved that. But I think it is to our peril that we exclude female voices and female brains from our movement. So we just have a couple seconds left. Anything else you want to say?
No, just be back on my channel this week, Patriotic Weekly Review, Wednesday, 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I'll see you there, Patrick.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.